Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we dive into Broadband, a captivating book authored by Claire L. Evans. Published in 2018, Broadband unravels the compelling narrative of the women who have been pivotal to the evolution of computers and the internet. This book sheds light on how these trailblazing women transformed fields initially deemed mundane into sectors of vital importance, crafting a new digital world in the process. Claire L. Evans, a multifaceted talent, brings a unique perspective to this story. Not only is she a journalist recognized for her contributions to esteemed publications like Vice, The Guardian, Wired, the Los Angeles Review of Books, and Quartz, but she also exhibits her creativity as the lead singer of the Grammy-nominated pop duo Yacht. Evans extends her expertise as the founding editor of Terraform, Vice's science fiction vertical, and serves as a graduate advisor at Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, California. Her rich background in both the arts and technology provides a distinct lens through which the story of these pioneering women is told. Broadband is more than a history lesson. It's an inspiring call to action and a testament to the untold impact women have had on the technological landscape. It is a must-read for young women aspiring to a career in computer science, showing them that not only is there space for them in this field, but there is also a rich history of women like them who have paved the way. Computer scientists, engineers, and anyone interested in the intersection of gender and technology will find Broadband to be an enlightening and motivating read. Join us as we explore the stories of the women who helped shape the digital world, making it what it is today. Broadband, the untold story of the women who made the internet. Introduction. Discover the unsung heroines of the digital world. In the ever-evolving saga of technological progress, every chapter of innovation in computer science, from the inception of online publishing and information science to the development of programming languages and the birth of virtual communities, has been co-authored by an extraordinary but often invisible group: women. Despite their significant contributions, a prevailing sexist stereotype stubbornly persists, painting computer science as a realm dominantly, if not exclusively, for men. But why is this the case? The answer is as frustrating as it is simple. Over the years, the pivotal contributions of women to the tech world have been either swept under the rug or outright disregarded. Their groundbreaking work, their pioneering spirit, and their relentless pushing of boundaries have been overshadowed by a narrative that does little to acknowledge their role. This narrative dives deep into the heart of this oversight, celebrating the women whose intellect, foresight, and perseverance shaped the digital landscape we navigate today. These were women who embraced tasks deemed too menial for their male counterparts, who deciphered the language of machines without a guide to light their path, who carved avenues in the realm of computer science when no such roads existed. These were the trailblazers, the pathfinders, the visionaries on whose paths we tread today. As we unravel the layers of this story, you'll encounter intriguing revelations. You'll learn about the connection between Lord Byron and computer programming, a tale that binds poetry to programming in a symbolic legacy. You'll be introduced to the term Kilo Girl, a throwback to an era when computing work was quantified in a uniquely gendered unit, and you'll discover the inspiring journey of a college dropout who, against all odds, secured a $150,000 computer for a grassroots community project, proving that passion and determination can indeed revolutionize access to technology. Join us on this journey to uncover and celebrate the indelible mark left by women on the digital world. It's a homage to those who dared to dream, to create, to innovate, and, in doing so, paved the way for future generations to envision a world where technological prowess knows no gender. Part 1. Ada Lovelace, the poet's daughter who programmed the future. In the annals of history, where poetry meets the precision of mathematics, we find Ada Lovelace, the offspring of the tempestuous romance between the legendary poet Lord Byron and the mathematically inclined aristocrat Anna Isabella Milbank. While Lord Byron left the world draped in the beauty of his verses, his most enduring legacy might just be his daughter Ada, who emerged as the pioneer of computer programming. The cornerstone of this narrative is the remarkable journey of Ada Lovelace, heralded as the world's first computer programmer. Ada's upbringing was meticulously engineered by her mother from an early age, infused with a rigorous mathematical education aimed at curbing any wild tendencies inherited from her famed father. Yet it was this blend of lineage, the poet's creativity with the mathematician's rigor, that uniquely positioned Ada to grasp and influence the nascent field of computer science. Her path crossed with Charles Babbage, the father of the difference engine, an innovation that put forth the idea of mechanical calculation to solve complex mathematical problems. For Ada, just 17 at the time, this meeting was decisive, sparking a lifelong fascination and collaboration that would eventually see her outshine her mentor. Despite the numerous roles Ada juggled, as a wife to William King, later the first Earl of Lovelace, and a mother, her passion for Babbage's inventions never waned. It was Babbage's analytical engine, a design for the first general-purpose computer, that truly captured her imagination. Upon encountering a paper detailing this machine in a Swiss journal, Ada took it upon herself to not just translate it but enhance it, identifying and correcting several errors in the process. With Babbage's encouragement, Ada embellished the translation with her own notes, elevating the document to a comprehensive technical treatise that expanded upon Babbage's original work. Her contributions didn't merely translate the vision of the analytical engine. They illuminated its potential applications, even hinting at a future where machines could manipulate symbols in accordance with rules and produce elaborate computations. Ada Lovelace labored under the familial motto, "Labor is its own reward," a principle that coursed through her work and underscored her untimely demise in 1852. Unrecognized in her time, ensconced in an era that couldn't yet fathom the digital dawn she prefigured, Ada's contributions were somberly enshrined upon her coffin. It wouldn't be until nearly a century later that the world would reawaken to the prodigious intellect and foresight of Ada Lovelace, finally celebrating her as the progenitor of computer programming, a luminous figure who, from the poetic legacy of her father, charted the binary blueprints of tomorrow. Part 2. Grace Hopper, the Navy mathematician who programmed the future. In the early 1940s, as the shadow of World War II loomed large over the world, a determined mathematics professor from Vassar College made a decision that would etch her name in the annals of computer science history. This was Grace Hopper, who, in the wake of the Pearl Harbor attack in December 1941, left her academic position and enlisted in the U.S. Navy. Little did she know that her journey would lead her to become a pioneering figure in the development of computer technology. The narrative here is compelling. Grace Hopper was undeniably a trailblazer in the realm of computer science, assigned initially with expectations of leveraging her mathematical skills for code-breaking. Hopper found herself at Harvard as one of the earliest programmers of the world's first computer, the Mark I, tasked with aiding Lieutenant Howard Aiken, the creator of the Mark I. Hopper confronted the daunting challenge of mastering a machine that came with no instruction manual. Yet with her characteristic determination and intellectual prowess, she quickly became an indispensable member of Aiken's team. During her time at Harvard, Hopper's coding efforts were pivotal in attacking some of the most complex problems of the war. It was a revelation, somber as it may have been, when she realized that her programming work contributed to the development of the atomic bombs dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Amidst this, she began preserving segments of her code, laying the groundwork for what would become her most enduring legacy. Post-war, Hopper's journey continued at UNIVAC, home to what was then the world's most formidable computer. Here, she observed a burgeoning problem. The growing demand for programming expertise outstripped the availability of skilled programmers. Hopper's solution was revolutionary. She advocated for and developed a compiler, enabling computers to generate their own programs, a concept that vastly democratized programming. But Hopper didn't stop there. Anticipating the confusion that would ensue from a landscape where every computer operated on its unique compiler, she leveraged her naval connections to unify the industry. In 1959, she chaired a meeting that would lead to the creation of COBOL, Common Business-Oriented Language, a simple yet universally applicable programming language. A decade later, COBOL had become the most ubiquitously used programming language across the industry. Even now, some 60 years after its inception, COBOL's legacy persists, underlining the foresight and ingenuity of Hopper. In fond remembrance, Grandma COBOL. Her story is a testament not just to her remarkable intellect and innovation, but to her unwavering commitment to advancing the field of computer science, trailblazing a path for generations to follow. Part 3: The Pioneering Programmers, the Story of the ENIAC. 6. Long before digital behemoths ruled the realm of computing, the term computer held a different significance. It referred to the meticulous humans, predominantly women, who crunched complex calculations by hand. This era birthed the whimsical term kilogirl, a testament to the thousands of hours women devoted to computational labor. As World War II intensified, so did the calculations required for war efforts, pushing the capabilities of these human computers to their limits. In response, physics professor John Morkley and engineer J. Presper Eckert envisioned a monumental leap in technology. The creation of the first electronic computer, the Electronic Numerical Integrator and Computer, or ENIAC. Little did they know that the heart of this groundbreaking project would be powered by a remarkable team of women known as the ENIAC Six. The core insight here is breathtaking. The women of the ENIAC Six, Kathleen, Kay McNulty, Betty Jean Jennings, Elizabeth Betty Snyder, Marlon Weskoff, Francis Bilas, and Ruth Lichterman, were the trailblazers who taught themselves to program the world's first electronic computer. With backgrounds as human computers, calculating ballistics trajectories during the war, these six women embarked on a journey with no roadmap. The ENIAC had no instruction manual, leaving the team to uncover its secrets through trial, error, and unyielding determination. Programming. The ENIAC was not only a cerebral challenge, but a physical one, involving the laborious task of replugging hundreds of cables for each new calculation. Although the war concluded before the ENIAC could be put to its intended use, a celebrated public demonstration in 1946, masterfully orchestrated by the ENIAC 6, captured the public's imagination. Regrettably, the spotlight shone more on the machine than on the minds who made it work, leaving the pioneering women without the recognition their groundbreaking work warranted. Among the ENIAC 6, Betty Jean Jennings and Elizabeth Betty Snyder, known affectionately as the Two Bettys, emerged as luminaries. Their partnership, characterized by an impeccable knack for identifying each other's errors and a humility that allowed their code to shine, set a standard in programming excellence. Their legacy did not end with the war. The Two Bettys forged illustrious careers in the nascent world of commercial computing, with Snyder playing a pivotal role in the creation of COBOL, the unified programming language promoted by another computer science icon, Grace Hopper. The story of the ENIAC 6 is a tale of vision, resilience, and unsung heroism. It serves as a powerful reminder of the women who, through their intellectual might and collective effort, laid the foundational programming languages of our digital world, scripting the first lines of a technological revolution. Part 4: Trailblazing Women Who Wired the World for Change. In the late 1960s, as anti-war sentiment surged following the US bombing of Cambodia, a group of visionary women at UC Berkeley, led by computer science graduate student Pam Hart English, found themselves at the intersection of protest and technological innovation. Inspired to blend activism with the emerging possibilities of computing, they embarked on an ambitious project to knit together the disparate threads of the counterculture through digital communication networks. The crucial takeaway is clear. Women were instrumental in leveraging technology to foster social change. By the summer of 1970, Hart English, alongside two of her classmates, had shifted base from academia to Project One, a quirky warehouse in San Francisco that became the crucible for their dreams. Their goal was audacious for its time: to collate and disseminate resources and information through a decentralized network, essentially laying the groundwork for what we now recognize as the Internet. However, a significant hurdle stood in their way: the absence of a personal computer. Undeterred, Hart English embarked on a quest to secure a computer, meticulously reaching out to a list of 53 institutions and companies. Her perseverance paid off when she successfully persuaded Transamerica Leasing Corporation to donate an SDS-940 computer, a behemoth likened to the size of 10 refrigerators. With the computer installed at Project One, now christened Resource One, Hart English spearheaded fundraising efforts to maintain the operation over the ensuing 3 years. While the initial vision of interlinking countercultural centers proved to be more aspirational than achievable, Resource One evolved to fulfill a pivotal role within the Project One ecosystem. A breakthrough came when Maya Schoen, Sherry Reason, and Mary Janowitz uncovered a glaring gap in the Bay Area's social services: the absence of a centralized database for assistance programs. Seizing upon Resource One's capabilities, they architected a social services referral directory database, an initiative that would streamline the access to help for countless disadvantaged individuals. As direct access to the database was unfeasible for social workers, the enterprising volunteers resorted to distributing monthly printouts of the directory. This innovative solution not only made its way into every library in San Francisco and the Department of Social Services, but also underscored the transformative potential of computing for societal benefit. Though Schoen, Rezin, and Janowitz eventually passed the baton to the United Way charity, the database's legacy endured, eventually finding a home in the San Francisco Public Library, where it remained accessible until 2009. The journey of Resource One, spearheaded by a group of audacious women, stands as a testament to the early and profound impact of computing on social good, a narrative that is as inspiring as it is instructive. Part 5. Elizabeth Jake Feinler, the unseen architect behind the Internet's precursor. In the twilight days before the dawn of the Internet, a groundbreaking digital network known as the ARPANET emerged, laying the foundational stones for what would evolve into the interconnected world we navigate today. Funded by the US military in 1969, the ARPANET was designed to connect scientists across universities in the United States, facilitating unprecedented resource sharing and communication. By 1972, as the ARPANET expanded to approximately 30 connections, the complexity and the need for an organized system became apparent. This critical responsibility fell into the hands of Elizabeth Jake Feinler, transforming her role in the Stanford Research Institute into one of central importance for the burgeoning network. The essence here is profound. Elizabeth Jake Feinler was tasked with imposing order on what was essentially the early days of the Internet. Feinler's inaugural mission at the Network Information Center, NIC, was to compile a comprehensive resource handbook for the ARPANET, cataloging detailed information about each connected site. This initial foray into the ARPANET not only rapidly elevated Feinler to its leading authority, but also produced what could be likened to the first iteration of an Internet browser, a paper-based gateway to the digital realm of the ARPANET. As the network burgeoned, so too did Feinler's responsibilities, ultimately encompassing the critical organizational tasks necessary for its efficient operation. She assumed the mantle of managing new host registrations and indexing pivotal conversations that transpired across the network. In a time devoid of centralized advertising for host site resources, Feinler's knowledge became indispensable. The NIC, under her stewardship, evolved into the Epoch's equivalent of Google, with Feinler herself developing the ARPANET's first People Finder feature to cater to the growing demand for connectivity. Yet one of Feinler's most enduring contributions was her visionary approach to systematizing site names and addresses. Recognizing the need for an organized structure as the network sprawled, she proposed the use of generic domain name categories based on the geographical locations of computers. Mil for military, gov for government, edu for educational institutions, and .com for commercial entities, foundations that are pivotal to how we navigate the internet today. Feinler's pioneering efforts would see the NIC expand from a humble operation into an $11 million enterprise, marking yet another instance where a woman's contributions, initially perceived as mundane tasks by her male counterparts, have proved to be indispensable to the technological advancements we take for granted today. Elizabeth Jake Feinler's legacy stands as a testament to the critical and often overlooked role women have played in constructing the digital age. Part 6. Stacey Horn and Echo, Pioneering the Path to Social Media and Its First Influencer. In the digital odyssey of the late 20th century, amidst the cacophony of emerging online communities, a graduate student named Stacey Horn discerned a void. Engrossed by the discussions on The Well, an online community echoing the voices of journalists, ex-hippies, and tech enthusiasts from California, Horn found herself yearning for a platform that mirrored the vibrant essence of New York City, without the exorbitant phone bills from long-distance dial-ups. Thus, in the year 1990, Horn birthed Echo, the East Coast hangout, carving out one of the earliest blueprints for what we now recognize as social media networks. The journey of Echo was characterized by a unique sense of community building, with Horn herself venturing nightly into the bustling social scenes of parties, art openings, and museums in search of intriguing individuals aptly dubbed echoids. These efforts, however, came with the challenge of introducing the concept of online communities to those unfamiliar with the digital world, often resulting in Horn inviting potential users to her apartment for tutoring sessions. At a time when the demographic of internet users skewed significantly male, with women comprising just 10 to 15%, Horn's vision for Echo was inclusive. She strived to create a balanced community, reflecting the real world through both communal and personal digital spaces. It was in these personal spaces that echoids found solace and company among subgroups, paving the way for one of the internet's first forays into what modern parlance would call safe spaces. Echo transcended being merely a virtual gathering place in 1994, during the riveting TV coverage of O.J. Simpson's Bronco Chase. Echoids, immersed in the unfolding drama, shared their immediate thoughts and reactions on the platform, effectuating what was perhaps the first instance of simulcasting, a precursor to today's live tweeting. But perhaps the most seminal contribution of Echo to the tapestry of social media was the advent of the first influencer. Marissa Bowe, a teenager in the 1970s whose digital colloquialism was nurtured by her father's computer terminal, found her sanctuary in Echo upon moving to New York in the 1980s. While Bowe was reticent in person, her online persona exuded charisma and attracted a substantial following. Designated by Horn to stir engaging discussions on Echo, Bowe emerged as a digital savant, her popularity earning her a distinguished status amongst echoids and positioning her as a miniature luminary during their physical congregations. In the narrative of Echo, Stacey Horn emerges not just as a visionary, but as a community architect who foresaw the potential of online networks to replicate and enrich the dynamics of real-world interaction. Echo stands testament to the embryonic stages of social media and influencer culture, demonstrating how early digital pioneers navigated the uncharted territories of online community building. Part 7. Dame Wendy Hall, a pioneer behind the scenes of the World Wide Web. In the grand tapestry of the digital age, while Tim Berners-Lee is often spotlighted for inventing the World Wide Web, it's crucial to unravel a lesser-known narrative, one that highlights the contributions of Dame Wendy Hall and her pioneering innovations in the realm of hypertext, setting the stage for the web's emergence. The essence of this tale lies in understanding the distinction between the Internet, a vast network of interconnected computers, and the World Wide Web, a universe of linked pages communicated via hypertext markup language, HTML. But before HTML took center stage, the 1980s witnessed the evolution of complex hypertext systems, one of which was spearheaded by Wendy Hall, then a computer science lecturer at the University of Southampton in England. In 1986, the BBC commemorated the 900th anniversary of the Domesday Book through an interactive presentation on laser discs, sparking Hall's curiosity in interactive media. This interest deepened during a sabbatical at the University of Michigan in 1989, where she encountered the burgeoning field of hypertext and hypermedia, setting her ablaze with ideas. Back in Southampton, an opportunity serendipitously presented itself when the university's archivist sought Hall's expertise for digitizing the extensive archives of the Earl of Mountbatten. The project's fruition was Microcosm, a hypertext system devised by Hall and her team, facilitating seamless navigation through a wealth of documents, images, and videos on a computer by Christmas 1989. However, Microcosm was but one star in a constellation of hypertext systems emerging globally, another being the nascent World Wide Web woven by Tim Berners-Lee. Despite initial skepticism regarding the web's simplicity and lack of features compared to its contemporaries, its free availability and straightforward design catalyzed its ascendancy as the preferred digital platform. Hall envisioned a digital ecosystem where Microcosm and the World Wide Web could coexist harmoniously, her ambitions leaning towards commercializing Microcosm. Yet, the tide of digital preference had already turned toward the web, underscoring a pivotal moment in our digital history. Dame Wendy Hall's journey through the landscape of hypertext not only showcases her as a vital contributor to the technological foundations underlying today's internet, but also serves as a testament to the broader narrative of innovation and discovery. Her work laid crucial groundwork for the digital interconnectedness we now often take for granted, marking her as an unsung hero in the story of the World Wide Web's genesis. Part 8. Jamie Levy, From Digital Graffiti to Silicon Alley Stardom. In the bustling streets of New York City during the zenith of the dot-com era, Jamie Levy emerged as an unparalleled figure, styling herself as the Kurt Cobain of the internet. This moniker, though audacious, was a reflection of her transformative journey from a Southern California punk rocker to a digital innovator. This tale pivots around a pivotal insight. Jamie Levy revolutionized digital publishing. Levy's journey into the digital realm began serendipitously, with a boyfriend's introduction to computer animations sparking an insatiable curiosity. While studying at New York University, she delved into interactive media, setting the stage for her eventual acclaim. Upon graduating in 1990, Levy relocated to Los Angeles and launched Electronic Hollywood, an avant-garde electronic magazine on floppy disk. This compilation of graphics, games, and texts, her digital graffiti, soon became a cult favorite in indie stores across Los Angeles, catapulting Levy into the media spotlight. Returning to New York City, Levy became Silicon Alley's inaugural celebrity. Her work even caught the eye of rock legend Billy Idol, leading to a collaboration on a floppy disk for his cyberpunk album. Despite the album's lukewarm reception, Levy's star continued to ascend. The discovery of Mosaic, the first web browser, crystallized her ambitions, revealing her projects as precursors to the modern website. Levy's pinnacle arrived in 1995 when she was appointed creative director of the pioneering online magazine Word. One of her first recruits was Marissa Bowe, the trailblazing influencer from the Echo community. Together, they reimagined the boundaries of online publishing, skillfully crafting content that resonated with millions, eventually garnering accolades from mainstream powerhouses like Newsweek and the New York Times. Despite her meteoric rise, Levy's tenure with Word was brief. Leaving after just 18 months, she anticipated a flood of creative opportunities which, to her dismay, had been supplanted by a landscape dominated by corporate projects. While Chaime Levy might not be a name recognized in every household today, her indelible mark on the digital world of the 1990s showcases the expansive, creative potential of digital content. Through her innovative spirit and pioneering endeavors, Levy illustrates the profound impact one individual's vision can have on the shape and scope of digital publishing, redefining it for generations to come. Final summary. In the unfolding narrative of technological evolution, women have been the silent architects, shaping the contours of the digital landscape with their intellect, creativity, and perseverance. Yet, paradoxically, their contributions have often been overlooked, their achievements overshadowed, and their stories erased from the annals of history. Despite the barriers and biases, the innovations crafted by these pioneering women persist, woven into the very fabric of our contemporary world. From the genesis of computer programming at the deft hands of Ada Lovelace to the visionary establishment of early social media networks by Stacey Horn, the influence of women in technology spans a multitude of domains, including the internet, digital publishing, and beyond. Shaping the discourse and direction of social networking, Chaime Levy redefined the possibilities of digital publishing, while the ENIAC 6 laid the groundwork for programming the first electronic computer. The tapestry of tech history is rich with tales of Dame Wendy Hall's crucial role in the development of hypertext, paving the digital pathway to the World Wide Web, and the monumental contributions of Grace Hopper in conceptualizing the very language that computers speak. It's within the echo of Pam Hart English's quest to utilize technology for social good where we find the proof of technology's power to unite and uplift. Yet, these trailblazers were often compensated poorly for their groundbreaking work, faced disregard for their expertise, and were erased from the narrative of progress, a testament to the persistent gender disparities within the field. Despite these adversities, their legacies endure, reminding us that our current era of connectivity, innovation, and digital exploration owes much to the invisible labor and relentless determination of these women. As we navigate the ever-expanding digital cosmos, let us remember that the world we know today, rich in information, connected by invisible networks, and burgeoning with potential, would be starkly different without the foundational contributions of women. Their stories, though long unsung, serve as beacons of inspiration and testament to the indelible impact of their work in sculpting the technological age. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.